everybody. Welcome back to Kathy Is In. I'm Kathy DeBono, your host. I'm here with my fiance, Jill.
Hello.
A little bit later in the hour, we're going to be here with Alethea Root, director of a film called Part-Time Fabulous, and the star of the film, Jules Brough, that we watched the other night. It was pretty intense. But we'll get into that later. Right now, we have someone on the phone that we wanted to call to thank. Her name is Betty Sue Morris. Betty Sue is we have a dear friend named Annie, and Betty Sue is her mom. And the other day we got an email from Annie directing us to read an article in the New York Times where there was a quote by Betty Sue, and that was when we learned a little bit more about her. And I had no idea about these really amazing facts. She was in the state legislature in Washington for 8 years. She went on to be an elected county commissioner. She served as an elected official in Washington state for 20 years, and she never lost an election.
Do you hear all those people?
Yeah, we had to do that.
Yes, I do.
She wrote an email to a former colleague, Congressman Dem Brian Hatfield, while they were, deliberating about gay marriage in Washington, and she won his vote and helped pass the bill. So we wanted to call Betty Sue Morris, get her on the phone, and just say thank you. Betty Sue, we know you're like driving right now or pulled over. You're on your way to a luncheon.
I am, but I did get into the parking lot, so I'm no longer driving. And happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, too. Well, thank God you pulled over, because, you know, if you got into a fender bender or something while you were talking to us, I know Annie would have our heads on a platter.
Well, it's also illegal in the state of Washington, but most of us do it anyway.
There you go. Well, there's a lot of people in Washington who are having a much better Valentine's Day today, in part because of your effort. So we want to say once again, thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you very much. Can you tell us just real briefly, and then we're going to let you go, Betty Sue, because we know you have to go. But
sure.
What inspired you to call Dem Brian
Democrat.
Democrat. Oh, I see.
Democrat.
I'm so confused.
Yes.
Brian Hatfield and just have a chat with him about this.
I had read in the paper that Brian was undecided about how to vote, and I had known Brian very well when I was in the legislature, and he is a very fine, conscientious maker with real character, which doesn't happen all of the time. And I thought that I would just write to him and tell him my own personal story. I didn't ask him to vote one way or the other. I just said, this is what happened to me, and I want you to know how my vote against gay marriage in 1996 has affected my life. And he wrote back to me the next day and said that I had pretty much written his floor speech for him, and did he mind? Because,
wow.
Of course, it would be very big. And I said, of course I don't mind. I checked with Annie and Amy first to make sure that they were okay with it, and they certainly were. But, you know, I'm very proud to have had a very tiny role in this, just as I am proud of Annie and you and Jill. I've never met you, but I have seen you on an advance of a television program. And all of you are beautiful, talented, accomplished, educated women. And I am very, very proud of you.
Thank you.
Betty Sue, you can come back anytime you want.
Yes.
It actually is a long drive, a short flight, but a long drive.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you so much for writing an email to Brian Hatfield and being
active. Thank you for giving birth to Annie.
Yeah, Annie's fantastic.
Yes, we love her.
She's pretty
good,
awesome.
I'm glad. You know, and I hope that eventually your right to marry in the state of California will be restored as well. We have threats here of an initiative on the ballot, and frankly, I'm not the least bit afraid of that. I'm certain that the time has come and the people of Washington State are going to support marriage for gays and lesbians, so I feel really good on this Valentine's Day, and thank you so much for including me on your show.
Thank you, Betty Sue.
Thank you, Betty Sue.
Enjoy your luncheon. Thank you again for being here. Betty Sue Morris, everyone.
You bet.
Yay!
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
How sweet is she?
She's amazing.
Now we know a little bit more about why Annie Price is such an amazing person.
Yes. Well, I mean, she, to be honest, she didn't really take as much credit as she should have, because his vote was one of the swing votes that, that made this possible. He voted in favor of gay marriage after getting this letter.
That's incredible.
So, you know, she's being very modest, but the truth is...
She's being very modest. But again, I mean, it goes to show you that just even a small contribution of standing up and taking action or making your voice be heard can be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
And it goes even further back to Annie, who, had she not come out to her mother, mm-hmm. had she stayed closeted, her mom wouldn't know to write this letter. That's why it's so important to be out.
Yeah, Betty Sue didn't share this part of the story, and had she had time, I would have asked her to stay with us longer. But in 96, Annie came home for Christmas and came out to Betty Sue. Or I don't know if it was 96 was when she passed her, when she made her vote against gay marriage.
Right.
It was sometime after that. And thinking about that and having some personal connection to the vote that she made and realizing the ramifications of what that felt like, and reading her quote, and you know what, we'll tweet the link to the article a little bit later today. We'll find it and we'll tweet it so you can read it and see her quote. But she was genuinely moved through an epiphany about this idea. And obviously she's a smart, conscientious, intellectual woman who has a big heart, who's, you know, never lost an election, and has her eye on the prize of doing the right thing. And she just needed that extra little boost of a personal experience to make her understand what the difference was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they just passed in the Senate in New Jersey gay marriage. It's now going to the governor's desk, and he said he's going to veto it, which is really sad, because they, you know, they finally get it through Congress, and now Christie says he's going to veto, but the legislature has vowed to try to overturn it. I believe it's a 2/3 vote in both houses can overturn and override his veto.
Veto schmito.
I know.
I mean, I just, here's the thing that really bothers me about this, and I don't think there's any stopping gay marriage becoming legal in this country, in every state in this country, eventually. It's just a matter of how long are we going to drag it through the mud and make it last?
Right.
How hard are people going to fight? How much money are they going to spend? How much time and energy are they going to focus in on this? And then once they finally lose, if that generation hasn't completely died off yet, I hope they all go into therapy and try to figure out what it was they were so afraid of.
Well, it's just like interracial marriage. I mean, everybody, the 70% of the country was against interracial marriage when Loving versus Virginia happened in the Supreme Court.
Look at my 70%. Girl just...
70%.
Look at my girl just quoting thing when Loving versus Virginia happened in the Supreme Court. You're such a smarty pants.
Well, I try. My point is that had they held a referendum, which is what all these...
Ooh, a big word.
Republican governors are trying to say that, well, we need to let the people decide.
You're getting more attractive by the minute.
Thank you, honey. Can I please just get the sentence out?
Sure.
Thank you. If they're now saying, well, we need to leave it up to the people. Well, had they left interracial marriage up to the people, 70% of the country believed that it was wrong. It never would have happened. There is a time
when... Well, there was, and we can take this all the way back and talk about when they were voting on slavery.
Right.
I mean, it's just a matter of time. And really, I think the gay civil rights fight and the transgender civil rights fight is like the last of the Mohegans in terms of civil rights.
Yeah.
We're the only ones left that can be fired for being gay, that can't get married. I mean, there's some ridiculous nonsense going on out there. And I just don't think you can stop the younger generations from coming up behind you, older generations, and making those changes that need to happen.
Well, I mean, we have to be all-encompassing, because the truth is, yes, gay marriage would be fantastic and it needs to happen federally, but 35 states, you can literally be fired for just being gay. They can put, you're fired because you're gay. So,
and it's legal.
How can that be legal and then have marriage be legal? So it's legal for you to get married, but you can be thrown out of your house.
No, the fact that there are 35 states that legally can fire someone because they're gay, and that person has to walk out the door and has no recourse. So
right.
It's like, yep.
And thrown out of your apartment, you can be evicted for being gay for no other reason other than just being gay.
All the forces against gay rights, or people having just regular, normal civil rights for gay people or transgendered people, if all of the effort, time, money, and focus that went into trying to keep that in place was put in other directions, in, you know, and put to good use, I mean, it's amazing to me. All those resources going into something so ridiculous. We have to take a break right now, but when we come back, we're going to be here with director Alethea Root and actress Jules Brough. Together, they produced a film called Part-Time Fabulous that Jill and I watched this week, and it is a spotlight on clinical depression and how it affects those who suffer from it and the relationships in their lives. So come on back. I know it's Valentine's Day, but we're still going to have fun, even with a heavy topic like clinical depression.
Hey, don't touch that browser. Kathy will be right back.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Lagaspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to Blagaspot.com and get your free quote today. That's BLAGASPOT.com. Blagaspot. We're up to interpretations.
Lucky Dog Leather Jewelry Collections feature the hottest leather accessories around. At Lucky Dog Leather, we offer a wide variety of handmade leather belts, wristbands, and some of the coolest bracelets you will find anywhere. We custom make every piece to order so you get exactly the style and fit you've been looking for. Our original designs have been the choice of star of Dexter, Michael C. Hall, American Idol winner, Lee DeWise, and the voice finalist, Vicky Martinez. Go to LuckyDogLeather.com and set your cool free.
You're listening to Kathy Is In with psychotherapist Kathy DeBono. For more information or to book a private session with Kathy, go to KathyIsIn.com. Traditional therapy is out, but Kathy is in.
Everybody, I'm here in the studio with my lovely fiancé, Jill.
Yeah.
I still think the word fiancé makes me uncomfortable.
I know, I don't like the word either.
Not
it's
because
weird.
Of what it means. It's just so dang heterosexual and strange.
Not that there's anything wrong with heterosexuals, honey.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yes.
No, it just doesn't feel like we are allowed to use it. And so, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's my own issue. Okay, so we're here in the studio right now. We want to welcome our guests, director Alethea Root and actress Jules Brough. Jill's going a little crazy.
Sorry, I thought you deserved that. We really enjoyed the film, by the way. That's what that was for. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. I just want to say, you know, we were looking at the information about your film, and this film won a plethora of festival awards. One was an audience choice award for best feature, which I always love when the audience chooses it over some stuffy panel. I mean, who cares? Two of them were best actress for Jules Brough.
Yes.
I think that's pretty phenomenal.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I have to say, I agree with them. You did a wonderful job.
Yes.
You did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
Alethea, can I make a little directing comment about my favorite point, my favorite little director moment?
Sure.
Where Jules' character is in bed and her boyfriend wants her to get up and go hiking and she just can't get up to go hiking and he goes outside to have a cigarette. The way you cut that moment together.
Oh.
Using
thank
the
you.
Sound and the, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I do know that moment, yes.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great.
Oh, thank you.
So let's see, where do we want to start? I mean, this film was a really great example for people who either suffer from clinical depression or know someone that does. It's good for both sets of people, I think, because it gives a voice to both of those people trying to have that relationship, whatever it is, whether it's a friend relationship or an intimate relationship. The film really gives a voice to both sides of it. So how did you guys decide to, and I know you produced this film together, you co-wrote it together. How did you decide to get together and do this movie?
Well, Jules had the idea to make a movie. And do you want to talk about it, Jules, since you started the whole process in motion?
Well, I'll start and you can finish.
Okay.
They're so sweet working together.
They are.
No, you first.
No, you. No. No, so I wanted to make a feature film. And
And I wanted to, and I knew I wanted to call it Part-Time Fabulous, and I wanted to make it about couples, how they are part-time fabulous. There are different things that are part-time fabulous about them. And interweave interviews with real people who, couples and their, you know, whatever, like I did, we would have interviewed you guys and what's great about your relationship and what's not so great. And I asked Alethea if she would direct it. And then through talking about it, we kind of honed in on what was not fabulous about me, and that was my clinical depression. So from there, we shifted. Instead of doing it on a lot of couples, we just did it on one couple, and we based it on my life. And yeah.
Yeah, once
Jules
we,
was like, I have an idea. Let's make it about me.
No, actually, Jules didn't really want to make it about her. She really wanted to focus on other things, like these couples. I mean, she was always going to be the star, of course. But when we started exploring the title, What's Part-Time Fabulous, and Jules confided in me about her clinical depression, it was just, oh, my God, we have to talk about that. And we both, like, looked at each other and got chills and, like, we need to do exactly what you said. We need to start talking about this. People who have it and people who don't have it need to know about it. And since it's Valentine's Day, I have to give a shout out to my husband, Sean. But when Jules wanted to explore, like, couples that are part-time fabulous, I personally didn't have a relationship to that statement, because, I mean, of course, I've had my part-time fabulous relationship.
She's like, I'm always fabulous.
But, no, but my relationship with Sean is so fantastic, so that it was very important for me to really understand what that was about. And yeah. So from that exploration that we did together, this was able to be born.
Yeah, well, you described, hello, can I have words today?
Radio.
A relationship that you had, a friendship, mm-hmm. and an experience that you had with losing a friend to suicide, and not even knowing that he was suffering from a mental illness or an emotional illness. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, my friend Tyler, who he had bipolar, and we went to high school together and remained friends after high school. And I would see him when he was in a really great place, and he traveled all over the world, and he sent me postcards from everywhere. And he would disappear for months at a time, and I didn't think twice about it. And I think his death really impacted me, because I didn't know that he was suffering, and he had called me a couple weeks before he committed suicide, and I was in school, in college, dealing with my own stuff, and I didn't call him back. I didn't even know I should call him back. I mean, I was, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm going to be out of school. I'm going to go home. I'm going to see him, and, like, I'm just going to get through my own stuff right now. And then, so his death had a huge impact on my life, and it actually stunted my creativity for a little while. People don't know that, but so when this topic with Jules came up, it taught me that we can make movies that make a difference, and we need to find the voice again. And
well, it seems like it might have been cathartic for you to be able to step up and give Tyler a voice. Now that he's gone, you weren't able to understand it or talk about it back then, but you were able to do it now, and I imagine that was very cathartic and therapeutic for you.
It was, actually. It was very cathartic. I have directed a lot of plays that deal with issues that I've dealt with. I directed Extremities, which deals with teenagers and boredom and drug abuse, and so I directed a play about that. Then I directed Extremities, another play about rape, so I got out some issues. I wasn't raped.
Just some
light entertainment. So when this movie came into being, it spoke to everything that I wanted to do.
Now, Jules, for you, this film was semi-autobiographical, so I imagine that means some of the events and stuff in that film were direct things that you experienced, and some of them were probably just representations of the illness itself and what you've been through. What was it like for you to have cameras rolling and to have to recall that state of mind of your own accord, knowing how closely tied this was to your own life? How did that affect you? I mean, was it therapeutic for you? Was it difficult?
It was, actually, it was very much like exercising demons. Like, I was done with that phase of my life. Like, I was diagnosed when I was 20. I'd been on and off medication, in and out of therapy, had kind of hit a rock bottom when I was in my mid-30s, and decided that I wanted to make a movie in that rock bottom. I don't, you know, it all worked out exactly as it's supposed to, but so during the shooting of this movie, the way that it turned out being about clinical depression, inspired by a story that happened in my life. It was super therapeutic, but when I would go back and do the acting, I didn't feel like the pain, like residual pain. I felt pain maybe in the moment when I was acting, but then it was gone because I had sort of... Making the movie was an exorcism of that.
You really took control of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really took control. You turned the depression into your puppet rather than the other way around.
I got lemons and I made lemonade, girl.
There you go.
I want to just really quick for people who are not familiar with clinical depression, Jules, how would you describe clinical depression?
Well, I think there's a spectrum, like everything, like they say there's a spectrum for autism, but for clinical depression, the person, the sufferer, feels hopeless, they feel worthless, and they have an inability to take action in their life.
Yeah.
And through our interviewing the real people we interviewed for the movie, for the documentary footage that's woven into the narrative, as well as just through my own experience, I think it's a combination. It could be nature, it could be nurture. I do think it's a combination of the two of them, and it kind of doesn't matter. I feel like at the end of the day, it's like, okay, you have this illness. You are not able to function like a normal person in society. So whatever you need to do, whether it be changing your eating habits, getting exercise, getting enough sleep, surrounding yourself with positive people, going to therapy, possibly medication, whatever it is that you need to do to level the playing field so you're like playing on the same baseball field that every other human is, you need to do it. And that's what I learned through making the film, actually, that it is my full 100% responsibility to be well and stay healthy and keep my mind right. And yeah, so I think clinical depression is just your mind and heart and spirit are like depressed and pressed down and you aren't your true self.
And what an amazing, I mean, what an amazing challenge to have to be, you know, you're describing the things that you've done to overcome it or to keep it in check when it's exactly the things you cannot bring yourself to do. I mean, you can't even bring yourself to brush your teeth or, you know, I tweeted about this show yesterday and I was like, if you know someone with clinical depression, help them listen because they may very well want to, but just not have it in them to go make it happen. And it's so frustrating for people in our lives that love us. Or people with clinical depression because it's so hard to understand and they always want to logically talk you out of it or cheer you up or ask you what's wrong. And there was someone you interviewed in your film. We have a clip of him sort of describing what that's like, having the people around you that don't really understand what it is.
I think depression's a terrible word to use to describe this illness because people use it to describe two different things. There's clinical depression, which is a biochemical illness, and they're just being depressed. You know, people that are upset about the economy or losing their girlfriend or death in the family. And they're really two different things. And I think that people who haven't gone through clinical depression assume that people who are going through clinical depression are just depressed, have the blues, or upset. That's why they always ask you, what are you depressed about? I'm never depressed about anything when I'm going through a clinical depression.
I love that you guys picked that quote. Jules and I use that quote all the time in our meetings. And when we were filming that, our cinematographer who shot the documentary section, he looked at me, he's like, I get it. He's like, I understand what this is. It's totally different. And I think our audience also really gets it in that moment because it's so true. When you're depressed, you're not depressed about anything. And so, I mean, you know, the snap out of it that people do to people who have depression.
Or pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Mm-hmm.
It's so harming. It's not helpful. It's harming because it's not understanding the reality of the situation.
Right. Yeah. And there are ways that people in our lives can help love us and help heal us when we have depression. And pull yourself up by the bootstraps is not one of them. We have to go to break in just a minute here, but we will be back with more Alethea Root and Jules Brough.
Stay tuned. Kathy will be right back.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Affirmative Athletics, a Freedom Assembly project, is a nonprofit sports and literacy program that positively affirms incarcerated children. By creating a culture centered around strong values of dignity, integrity, respect, and honor, Affirmative Athletics helps mold these young children into responsible and emotionally stable young adults. Find out how you can help. Visit us at www.affirmativeathletics.org. Affirmative Athletics, affirming minds, bodies, and souls of today's youth.
Blogspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to blagaspot.com and get your free quote today. That's BLAGASPOT.com. Blagaspot. We're up to interpretations.
Kathy is in, and she's ready to see you now.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono is bringing her practice to the airwaves of talk radio, offering her unique brand of intuitive advice. Therapy has never been such a good time.
From self-discovery to relationships, communication to coming out.
Kathy's compassion runs deep, but her tough love will help you bang down the doors to your authentic self. Tune in, listen, learn, and laugh. Traditional therapy is out, but Kathy isn't. The Kathy DeBono Show, every Tuesday at noon, Pacific Standard Time.
Okay, we're back. We're talking about a film called Part-Time Fabulous. Takes a really good look at clinical depression and what it does to people who suffer from it and the relationships in their lives. I was thinking about this. Clearly, watching the film, it was hard not to think about your journey with clinical depression, Jules, because you're very open about the fact that it is a part of your life and it's something that you have to deal with, and that the film was somewhat semi-autobiographical. And I have a tweet here from a guy named George who says, I don't think there is any amount of medication nor talking that solves the depression issue. Maybe George is in a bad place right now because he doesn't sound George. Very hopeful. But what would you say to George? What was your, and like you mentioned earlier, there are different routes for different people of where their depression comes from.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of, you do have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps to some degree and decide you're going to figure out what it is for you that's at the root of yours. And how did you finally do that? And what did you find at the root of your depression?
Well, to speak to where George is, like, I was there definitely different times where it was like, well, no, I mean, I don't see any way out and everything does seem completely pointless. So I have complete compassion for him and empathy, and for all the other people who are in the middle of that. But the great thing about life is that everything changes. And I think once I became aware of that true fact, like death, taxes, and everything changes, those three things are really, really, really going to happen. I was able to start to move forward. And I had somebody call me out on it. Like, because I was out in the world, I seemed fine. But in my relationship, I was a disaster because I, you know, wasn't taking care of myself. And so the man who the movie was inspired by, he called me out on it. And then I had to, like, look at myself in the mirror and be like, wow, okay, this is true. I'm not getting any younger. I am not healthy. What do I need to do? And so I did get into therapy. I found someone I really liked. I was on a bad medication for me. I switched medications. I found something that helped level me out. I started exercising regularly. I started eating really well, sleeping well. Negative people, I tried not to have them in my life anymore. And then when I do feel down now, I have a ring that says, this too shall pass. Like, I just try to remind myself that it will pass. And, you know, I know some people have been in depressions for years. So, again, I have empathy for them. And, you know, I do believe that it will pass. And, yeah.
Yeah, to some degree, and like you were saying, you have a ring with an affirmation on it. Or it is to some degree, a taming of the mind. Or a wrangling of the mind, because it gets wrapped up. I mean, the chemistry in our brains, and sometimes I like to use PMS as an example. You know, for women who don't understand clinical depression, I try to say to them, have you ever had PMS? Yes. And you're perfectly aware that it's your hormones? Yes. but you can't snap out of it, right? I mean, you're still in a bad mood or cranky or whatever it is it does to you. And they always go, oh, yeah.
It's the exact same thing.
Yes.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
It's comparison.
It's a good comparison because it gives people who don't have a frame of reference an idea for kind of how to think about it. One of my favorite moments in the film is when you're in therapy. And I thought to myself, that really happened. That is probably her real story. And maybe you'll tell us it is or it isn't. But I want to play this clip right now. It seems like in the therapy that you were doing, at least in the film, is insight oriented. And the other things you're talking about, like making sure you work out, making sure you eat properly, making sure you take all of those steps to take care of yourself, that's very cognitive behavioral oriented, right? So you're connecting your behavior to your thoughts and you're making them make choices in the right direction. But you also seem to be doing some insight therapy with your therapist, and I want to play a clip of that right now.
When do you think that started?
Oh, no, because it wasn't like that when I was a kid. I think my parents both worried a lot.
Do you think their worrying changed how things went for them?
No, I think it made it worse, because how can you be enjoying your life if you're worried?
How did you and Dawn deal with the worry?
We didn't do a great job with it.
Were you worried about losing him?
I think I was.
Were you worried about what would life be like with him?
I was worried about that too.
So either way, it was going to go. You were going to find something to worry about. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Does worry feel like love?
What can you tell us about that?
Well, this type of film we made, Alethea and I wrote a 13-page single-spaced outline, and we improvised it from there.
Ah.
So Alethea led the actors. You can please go ahead with this, and I'll finish up.
Yeah, tell us about that. So this wasn't scripted dialogue.
Sure. No, this wasn't scripted dialogue. We had half a day to shoot all three therapy sessions, and it was the last thing that we shot of the film. So we had all the information from what we had already shot because it was an improv. So we knew what we had already shot. We knew what had been expressed in the film. And so I, as the director, knew what I needed from those therapy sessions. Now, granted, that scene you just played, like, again, when that scene happened, everyone in the room was like, oh, we have a moment here. We have, like, you know, real truth. And because it is improv, and I don't know if it speaks to Jewel's personal experience with her parents, but there was so much worry in the film, and so that came about. And Blake Robbins, the man who plays the therapist, he didn't really know much about the film. Jules and him have been friends for a while, so he knows who Jules is, but I let him ask her questions, and then I would whisper things in his ear. and then I knew, like, if he started to go somewhere and I could recognize from the monitor that it was speaking to what we had explored in the film, I would then have him go further into that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's no question that there was, like, pure genius between Jules and Blake that day. And maybe you can speak a little more to what was going on for you.
Well... Someone on the set that day was like, is he a real therapist?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's not, I have to just jump in for a second, then I want to hear from you. The fact that wasn't scripted, and Blake did such a good job of saying really insightful things. I mean, what a great job he did there. I mean, maybe he should be a therapist, because the look on your face when he said that was so genuine and so real. I mean, how did that land on you?
Well, yeah, it felt like I was in therapy at that moment, for sure. I'm sure the whole day wasn't like that, but at that moment, I was like, oh, my gosh. Maybe love does feel like worry or whatever. That's so crazy, and that's terrible, and I have to fix that. So in that moment, it landed like a real question that I needed to hear. I don't know. The universe just threw it out at me, and I was like, oh, maybe that is part of my problem. And so, it was a very authentic moment.
So the worry and the parents and something you identify with.
Yeah. I'm like, I hope my mom's not listening.
Oh, it's okay. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's not like you're judging it. It's just a fact.
They were worried, and then I took that on.
Yeah.
And so then I was worried, and so that's my job for the rest of my life is to let go of worry.
Right, right. Well, we can learn a state of mind from our parents because that's who we're looking to teach us how to survive in the world. And if that's how mom looked at the world and that's how dad looked at the world, that's probably how I should go out into the world and look at it too because it's going to keep me alive.
Right. I mean, that's it, right? They're our models.
Right. And then we grow up and realize maybe they didn't have it all correct. Maybe they could have used a little help surviving themselves.
Maybe that worked for them, but maybe not so much for me.
Right. My mom was a big worrier, and I think it backfired with me in the other direction. I refused to be panic-oriented or, I mean, it kind of caused me a lot of anxiety as a child, and being who I am, it made me focus highly on my mom to make sure she was always taken care of and getting outside myself and feeling, where's my mom at? How can I take better care of her? And so it kind of backfired in me in the other direction. So I refused to worry. Isn't that true, honey?
She hates worry. It upsets her. When people panic, she's...
I do not like panic.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's never appropriate.
Oh, and it doesn't help.
It doesn't help.
It never helps.
It pushes whatever you want away from you and creates anxiety.
Right. Yeah. And if you're in a crisis situation, the person panicking, you just got to get them out of the way. They're not going to be of much use to you.
Right. You need to slap them across the face.
Oh, yeah. Bugs Bunny style.
Exactly.
Snap out.
Well, I've wanted to, like, watching this film, I have to say, you know, the directing was fantastic. It was a gentle, that's the word that comes to mind, introduction for people who don't understand depression. I have been lucky enough that I haven't experienced it personally, but I, as the viewer watching what your character was going through, I have felt that, like, just get out of bed, just fix it, you know? So it definitely helped me to understand better the people in my life and understanding that it's not that easy. It's not just the simple fact of, you know, just fix it, because that's where people who don't have depression go to.
Yeah, and jumping off that, we just got a tweet from Holly D. Hull, who says, why does it seem people are more understanding of those suffering from illnesses like cancer than those who suffer from depression?
So funny, because right when you were just speaking, I was like, it's like diabetes. Like, it's not the sufferer's fault necessarily, and it's not, but they have to deal with it because it's a chemical imbalance. And so it's the same thing, like it's a chemical imbalance, and whether it's a learned chemical imbalance, whether those grooves are put in your brain when you're really young, or whether it's physiologically you're born that way, it doesn't really matter. It's in there, and it needs to be addressed like any other illness that you can touch.
You can't just tell someone who has cancer, just get over it. Yeah, get over your cancer. You know, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
No,
certainly.
It doesn't. And anyone, I want to ask people to think about it who don't understand it. Think about when you drink and you've altered your brain chemistry. Are you the same? No. Can you talk yourself out of being drunk? No. That's the way it works. Or you smoke pot, you're high. You've changed your brain chemistry. It's just the way it works, and that's the way it works with clinical depression or someone who's bipolar or suffering from any number of illnesses that come from an imbalance in the brain chemistry. We have to take a break right now. Alethea Root and Jules Brough, I want to thank you both for being here. Part-Time Fabulous is their film. Where can folks find it?
We have a festival coming up in Durango. The first weekend in March, we screen on Thursday and on Saturday, and also
our website.
Yeah, thank you.
www.parttimefabulous.com, and we spell it with two T's. And we just signed with the sales rep. We're selling it to some fabulous cable station, and eventually it'll be on Netflix.
Great.
And we're getting the word out there. Oh, and we've partnered with NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. They're a pretty great resource for people who are listening, who feel lost. It's a free resource.
That's great. Yeah, NAMI. You can also find them on Twitter, username Part-Time Fabulous.
And your Facebook page.
Yep.
Yes,
very
all of
simple.
Those places.
All that stuff. We're everywhere.
All the intuitive places you might think. Guys, we'll be right back. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Okay. Thanks, ladies.
Hey, don't touch that browser. Kathy will be right back.
Lucky Dog Leather Jewelry Collections feature the hottest leather accessories around. At Lucky Dog Leather, we offer a wide variety of handmade leather belts, wristbands, and some of the coolest bracelets you will find anywhere. We custom make every piece to order so you get exactly the style and fit you've been looking for. Our original designs have been the choice of Star of Dexter, Michael C. Hall, American Idol winner Lee DeWise, and the voice finalist Vicky Martinez. Go to LuckyDogLeather.com and set your cool free.
Lagaspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to blagaspot.com and get your free quote today. That's BLAGASPOT.com. Blagaspot. We're up to interpretations.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
That's you, honey. Back.
Oh, we're back?
Yeah.
But the little ticker says 17 seconds.
You said they were 2-minute commercials.
Oh.
Okay.
I lied.
Yes.
Hey, that was really great to have those guys here. Sure. I mean, I think the film that they made is really awesome. Part-Time Fabulous, you guys. If you suffer from clinical depression or if you know anyone that does or if you're frustrated by anyone that does, just watch it, you know? It gives voice to both sides of that pretty well. And the fact that Jules Brough played semi-autobiographically, played herself and did such a great job. 2 Best Actress awards, and I think she deserves them. I think she did a really great job.
Yeah, and also on the business side of things, this was an indie film. I know what their budget was. What they did was really, really amazing. The work that Alethea did, I think, was quite impressive.
Yeah.
So,
and just one last question, then we'll move on, from Susan on Twitter. She says, what is a good way to tell the difference between just being depressed and due to life events or being clinically depressed? I almost want to say if you don't know the difference, you're probably not clinically depressed.
Hmm.
You know, I think clinical depression, you really feel like something is absolutely wrong and it doesn't correlate to anything in your life that you can make sense to. But I want to encourage anyone who's suffering from depression to please, please come out of the closet about it. We were just talking about that on the break with the girls before they left. It is a coming out, you know, because there's such stigma attached to issues like this. People think that you should just snap out of it or you should be stronger. And none of that is the case. And the more folks come out about that and share their stories, the more they can find each other, the more they can help each other, and the more they stop living alone, and the more the people who don't understand it can learn to understand it.
And help you.
And help you.
It sounds like to me that from what Jules was saying, with clinical depression, you really need the help of somebody to get you on the right track. Like, you can't, you know, most people in this situation can't do this completely alone. They need the people who are supportive in their life to help them get on the right track.
Sometimes that actually means manhandling them and getting them out of the house. I mean, it's difficult. It's really difficult. And, let's change gears here for a second.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about the ways in which we see depression in people who aren't talking about it. And I had to wonder after watching this movie and after what happened with Whitney Houston this week and Amy Winehouse not too long ago,
mm-hmm.
Addiction, how it can be such an indicator of someone going through depression. And you know what? It isn't always. You know, there's no 100% way or uniform way of looking at these things and pinpointing the cause and then eradicating it. It's not the way the human mind works. That's what's so fascinating about the human mind. But I just wanted to take a minute and, I don't know, put some love out there for Whitney Houston and her family, because I was really devastated by it.
I know. We were really bummed. Kathy was online looking at Twitter and she saw it. And, you know, I hoped, like a lot of people, that it was another one of those, you know,
false trends that, you know, people put up that celebrities die, and we turned on CNN and there it is, the, you know, date of birth, date of death. And I was like, oh, Whitney.
And what struck me was it was instant, and the outpour of Facebook, and now that we have Facebook and Twitter, the whole world can talk to each other, and the outpour of devastation and sadness and regret of people around the world, and, you know, coming out to the fore and coming out to the front to pay tribute to her and to show such appreciation for her talent and her place in the world. I know people don't do that out of nowhere, but it's always so sad to me that it happens after they die.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and before they die, people are mocking them and making fun of them. And, I have to say, I laughed at those skits on Saturday Night Live where Maya Rudolph was doing her Whitney Houston impression, you know, and it's because you don't make the jump to death. You don't think that way. As humans, we don't think this could kill her. We do, but we put it away and we just make fun of it. And truthfully, there must be something wrong for a woman who's incredibly talented, not only as a singer, but in my opinion, as an actor, who's gorgeous, who's smart, who's rich, who's successful, yet she's got this problem for years of using drugs.
Yeah. And I don't know that we'll ever understand where it came from. And I mean, in Whitney's case, did it start with a depression, or did it start with, you know, addiction can happen to anyone who has a propensity for it, and then just think they can be perfectly happy with their lives and be out partying one night and try something.
But do you think for that long? I mean, we're talking over a decade of being addicted to crack or cocaine. I mean, I don't know if it was ever really established, and in an abusive relationship, there has to be some depression in there for her to stay that long.
If there wasn't initially, I'm sure there was, you know, created by the scenario. And we were talking about changing brain chemistry and the grooves in your brain and the way your brain works. You can enter into a relationship that can do that to you if you stick around long enough. You know, your experiences will change your brain chemistry.
Hmm. Okay. Well, you looked at me. So, I was like, I don't know what to say.
Well,
to
I
don't
know. I mean, because really, who knows what happened? And I know there's I know that everybody's pissed off at Bobby Brown. I feel pissed off at Bobby Brown, and I don't even really know what happened. I just feel like he had something to do with it.
Yeah. Well, he enabled her in some way, and I'm also mad at all the people around her. And I know you can't force somebody into, you know, fixing themselves if they're not ready. But, you know, obviously the outpouring, she was such a talented woman. And to hear, you know, all of her music is playing again, and to be reminded what an amazing voice. I mean, I think she had the best voice ever. Like, she...
Amazing.
In her heyday, no one will ever sing the national anthem like that ever again.
No one will ever
sing...
That
I can imagine.
Anything like that. And I just want to give a shout-out to Jennifer Hudson, because I know she's listening.
Oh, my
right
God. I'm sure. That was amazing. That was amazing.
She had her head and her focus in the right place when she came out and paid that tribute. Can you imagine getting that phone call the night before and being asked to be that person to sing that song?
Sing Whitney's most favorite song the day after she died at the Grammys,
her most
in front
beloved
of the entire
song
world.
The day after at the Grammys. Ready, go.
And she nailed it.
She did such a great job. She changed it just enough as to not try to imitate Whitney. She made it her own, but she kept it, you know, true to Whitney's version enough that we could all, it just felt like a prayer. The whole moment felt like a prayer out to Whitney Houston. And it was so moving and so touching. And she did such a great job.
This has been a very depressing show.
I know. I hope not. You know what I hope it was? I hope it gave some people hope to either reach out to those people in their lives that are suffering from depression, or to look into understanding it better so that their relationship can improve. And when your relationships improve, your whole life improves. We want to stay connected to one another. We want to keep trying to understand one another. So that's what shows like this are about. And it was a gloomy topic for Valentine's Day, but maybe we can take that and go into our lives and shed some love on the people that we love. Maybe you're with someone who's depressed in your relationship, and maybe today was a good Valentine's gift for them.
Well, I love you very much.
I love you too. I woke up this morning to Jill bringing me coffee in bed and a sweet Valentine's card, and now she's going to take me to lunch.
Yes.
Isn't that nice? I know.
That was wonderful. Bravo.
Oh, there's the Muppets.
There's the Muppets.
That's my cue, guys. I'll see you next week.
Parts of it, they weren't very good.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Kathy is in. And- ready to see you now.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono is bringing her practice to the airwaves of talk radio, offering her unique brand of intuitive advice. Therapy has never been such a good time.
From self-discovery to relationships, communication to coming out.
Kathy's compassion runs deep, but her tough love will help you bang down the doors to your authentic self. Tune in, listen, learn, and laugh. Traditional therapy is out, but Kathy isn't. The Kathy DeBono Show, every Tuesday at noon, Pacific Standard Time.
Blogspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to blagaspot.com and get your free quote today. That's BLAGASPOT.com. Blagaspot. We're up to interpretations.
Lucky Dog Leather Jewelry Collections feature the hottest leather accessories around. At Lucky Dog Leather, we offer a wide variety of handmade leather belts, wristbands, and some of the coolest bracelets you will find anywhere. We custom make every piece to order so you get exactly the style and fit you've been looking for. Our original designs have been the choice of Star of Dexter, Michael C. Hall, American Idol winner Lee DeWise, and the voice finalist Vicky Martinez. Go to LuckyDogLeather.com and set your cool free.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
You're listening to Kathy Is In, the Kathy DeBono Show.
I talk too little, I talk too much. I never do the things that make it want me enough. Kiss and we talk, shout it out loud. I want to be a girl that can make you proud. I'm all personal revolution. I wish it was easy like a sweet summer dance. So follow your lead, you put me under your trance. We push and we pull, trying to find control. Falling 6 feet under it. With my mind, so I stand in the fall trying to do my best. Open my eyes and never settle for less.
Is my personal revolution.
You're listening to Kathy Is In, the Kathy DeBono Show.
Say yes to a better life. You can find the way. Give it all the best you got. Day to day. Say yes to things ahead. Bring your peace of mind. You deserve the best you got. Each and every time. Oh, say yes. Yes, life. Say yes to a brighter day. Yes to an open heart. To all that you can give yourself. It's the place to start. Say yes, oh, and make a choice. Turn your life. Yes, life. Oh, yes, life. You may feel weak, but you're stronger than you know. If you reach out for life, that's where you'll go. Oh, where you go. It's what you do, that's the truth I know.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono is bringing her practice to the airwaves of talk radio, offering her unique brand of intuitive advice. Therapy has never been such a good time.
From self-discovery to relationships, communication to coming out.
Kathy's compassion runs deep, but her tough love will help you bang down the doors to your authentic self. Tune in, listen, learn, and laugh. Traditional therapy is out, but Kathy is in. The Kathy DeBono Show, every Tuesday at noon, Pacific Standard Time.
For more information, go to kathyisin.com.